We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning and welcome to 95.7 The Game.
I know, too bad.
Alongside Lorenzo Neal and Dan Dibley, I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. Thank you for joining us on this Tuesday morning, which is stacked. 8:15, mark it down. The head coach, Jack Del Rio, will join the program. At 8:15, Jack Del Rio, followed at 8:30 by Greg Papa. So that's going to be a nice little back-to-back double dipper on the Raiders conversation. John Morosi at 7:05. Uncle Ray Searage, pitching coach from the Pittsburgh Pirates, joins us at 9:30. He's joined us before. The guy is an absolute laugh riot. It is great to have you in. We have $1,000 to give away for the 4K Day Cash Contest at 7 a.m. and at 8 a.m. Before we jump into it, though, we were having a little discussion right before the program. Lo, I wanted to bring you in on this. We were talking about Barstool Sports. Yep. For anyone who follows Barstool Sports on Instagram, you know it's a funny feed. There's a lot going on. They handle social media extremely well. The big thing this summer, and Lorenzo Neal, the great Lorenzo Neal, is having a difficult time wrapping his mind around this.
Very difficult time.
Is on golf courses. As your buddy is going to hit his shot, people are filming themselves running these individuals over in their golf cart.
I just don't get it.
I don't get it. When he said...
You heard that correctly.
Did you say running them over?
So it's a foursome. Say we're out.
Yes.
The three of us and Kalena, right?
Yes.
Kalena lines up for a shot. Maybe he's 150 out. Maybe it's an 8-iron.
Yeah.
And as he's thinking about it, Dibley comes flying in the golf cart and just runs him over.
Full speed runs him over.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is the new fad this summer. I saw a kid's head. The cart ran over the kid's head, coach.
And people,
I saw that.
And people love this. They're enjoying this.
It's fascinating stuff. I'm not saying I'm advocating it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's very popular on the internet right now.
It's because golf's not hard enough.
Right.
You know, it's not tough enough. You got to run a guy over.
Combination of golf and Blade Runner out there now on the golf course.
Joe, you should make odds and see who can, if you're playing this game, who can survive 18 holes? I don't know if it's possible anymore, Dibs. You already got your ankle already beat up. No one's running you over.
No.
It's not even a game. It's just this sick thing where you just run people over. And it's fascinating, so everyone's watching it, and you inevitably realize it will end in tragedy at some point.
It will.
But right now, that's the thing of the summer. Barstool Sports is throwing this stuff up. Just the look on your face as you tried to process it this morning.
I'm lost for words. It's absolutely crazy to see young people out on a course where you're supposed to be relaxing, taking your mind off, enjoying golf, and you're getting ready to putt or getting ready to hit your stick, and someone comes full speed and you don't see them in your backswing and run your butt over. It's crazy.
What would be interesting would be to see someone try to do that to you, to see the golf cart just smash into you and you just turn around like, did the wind just pick up?
No. I turn around. The cart would be hurt, and so would I.
Yeah, Lo would pick it up and throw it into the lake.
I'd be fired up, Dibs, honestly.
All right, John Morosi is going to join us in an hour. We're going to talk about Bochy and Rigetti both getting run from last night's game against the Pirates. Scott Baer with a little Raider talk at 7:30. And again, 8:15 today, mark it down. The head coach, Jack Del Rio, will join the program. LeBron James and Kyrie Irving is getting really good. You're going to want to hear about that in about a minute. But right now, Dibs with your update.
And Joe, the headline story is the other piece of that. Derrick Rose committing to the Cavs. According to The Vertical, the former Bull and Knick point guard has committed to play for Cleveland. He'd signed a reported one-year, $2.1 million deal after a physical is passed. And this all amid rumors that Kyrie Irving wants out of Cleveland. Stay tuned to 95.7 The Game for all the developments surrounding what has been an exciting NBA offseason. Story number two, the A's fall short in Toronto, but Matt Chapman got to eat.
And the pitch to Matt is driven to center. Pillar going back on this. He will turn and watch it fly. And Chapman has hit another home run. He is red hot. And now 3-2 Toronto.
Vintage Korak here on 95.7 The Game. Bob Melvin, though, still stuck on career win 9.99. Sonny Gray gets the ball this afternoon. 3:15 dugout show here on 95.7 The Game. Story number three, the Giants clobbered by the Pirates 10-3. Bruce Bochy ejected. Pitching coach Dave Rigetti ejected. Andrew McCutchen and Jordy Mercer each with three-run bomb skis. Matt Cain winless in his last 11 starts. Madison Bumgarner makes his third start since the dirt bike crash today. The update brought to you by Fremont Chrysler Jeep Dodge. You see it everywhere. The DGDG.com yellow license plate. So where will you see it next? Check us out at DGDG.com. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the NBA champion Golden State Warriors. It's 95.7 The Game.
All right, so this is getting really good. On Friday, word leaks that Kyrie Irving asked the Cleveland Cavaliers for a trade. On Sunday, LeBron James makes it known he will not waive his no-trade clause. He's not going anywhere, Cleveland. On Monday, the fallout begins. Who's going to trade for Kyrie? Is this a conspiracy theory? Are these guys working together? What really happened? Analysis, takes, scorching, wash, rinse, repeat. And then Stephen A. Smith on his radio show with this report. Take a listen.
Kyrie signed a five-year deal in excess of $90 million right before LeBron returned to Cleveland, like a week or two before LeBron returned to Cleveland. Kyrie did not know that LeBron was coming back to Cleveland. So Kyrie was salty from that moment. Now, it doesn't mean that they had a contentious relationship. They've talked on many occasions. According to my sources, LeBron James has tried to appease him at every turn. A matter of fact, I had sources in LeBron James' camp literally tell me, and I'm quoting Charles, if Kyrie Irving was in front of LeBron James right now, LeBron James would be tempted, quote, to beat his ass, end quote.
That is from Stephen A. Smith. Lorenzo Neal, I'm going to throw it right over to you. You hear that. What do you even make of it?
I make it that, man, this is unbelievable. I believe that it's awesome what we're watching and what we're getting to experience. I think it's you guys are watching a soap opera right in front of us, and Stephen A. is right in with them, and either that he's in with them or all of those guys, everyone's getting fooled. I just don't see these guys. I may be wrong, and it sounds like I'm wrong, but it's just too much. I've seen Kyrie just seem like underneath his arms all these years and just right with him. I got you. This is my big bro. All these different things. It's sort of like, you know, I played with Philip and Drew was there. Even though these guys, they're amicable, you don't hear one say, I can't play with him. They drafted him. Forget him. I can't stand him. You respect. You've seen so many different players. You never see someone leave Tom Brady and say, I can't stand him, or Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. All these different greats, LaDainian Tomlinson playing in certain places. You hear certain things, or the Ray Lewis's, guys that even that are demanding, you hear people say, God, he's an ass, whatever, he practiced too hard, or this and that and the other, but he said, man, he's a true pro. And here's the thing. Look, how many guys have LeBron played against? How many guys have Stevenson blowing in his face? Have you ever heard LeBron?
That's where you go, I love it.
have you ever heard this guy say, I will beat someone's ass?
No,
have
never.
You ever heard him come out of care? I just think that this is such a good ploy because they do not want he does not want Kyrie there. Kyrie now all of a sudden doesn't want to be there. It's just it's like how this goes so sour, so quick, so hard. I mean, this turn that this did is such an abrupt turn. It's just beyond me.
It's like getting run down by a golf cart when you're trying to hit 7-iron.
Yes. Seriously. Yes.
Comes out of nowhere.
Yes.
Although at the same time, the golf cart's only going 10 miles an hour.
Yes.
And much like this saga, you could see it unraveling over time, and you could see where Kyrie would feel aggrieved, you know?
But wasn't this turn like, was it like smack in our face? We're hearing a week ago, Kyrie said, God, I'll go with LeBron. I'll go wherever he's at. And all of you see him hugging when they lost the championship. Kyrie waited in the hallway because he got in first to wait for LeBron and hug him up, and then they walked in together. Isn't this such a hard turn that you guys are like, can't you guys think that this is all smoke and mirrors in some way? Even though it sounds, LeBron, I was slapping him, I beat his ass. This just doesn't seem in character to me.
Dibs, how does it land with you? Lowe's been big on the fact that this could be an act to get LeBron out. To get Kyrie out. There are others, and Clay Travis, who's on before us, Fox National, kicking around the idea that Stephen A. Smith is just flat out wrong. How does it land for you?
I think it lands as an appropriate kind of sequence of events. Kyrie Irving obviously was a little disrespected, or he felt like he didn't have the arrangement he thought he was going to have when he came in there, and 11 days later, LeBron signed. So now he didn't get a chance to be the top dog on a team. They won a championship. They made another run and fell short. And LeBron is probably not the best guy to play with. He's a little passive-aggressive in some of his actions, in some of his behaviors, and maybe Kyrie has had enough, and this is his best opportunity to leave what's going to be a sinking ship. If LeBron opts out, then Kyrie Irving doesn't want to be left holding the bag, so why not be the first one out? Talk about your disgruntled nature. See if you can't get to Boston or somewhere else ahead of LeBron leaving.
888-957-9570. What is going on in Cleveland? Who do you believe? Stephen A. Smith and his sources? LeBron James? Kyrie Irving? LoNeal? Is it a conspiracy? Or has this relationship reached its inevitable conclusion? 888-957-9570. Your call's next. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I had sources in LeBron James camp literally tell me, and I'm quoting, Charles, if Kyrie Irving was in front of LeBron James right now, LeBron James would be tempted, quote, to beat his ass, end quote.
Welcome back. Powerful reporting from Stephen A. Smith. And as you noticed, that of which you're listening to right now, the Ultimate Warrior theme music, because of the LeBron versus Kyrie brouhaha that's taking shape in Cleveland. We're going to go with WWE theme music throughout the day.
Nice.
8:45 ticket window. It might be a WWE-related question as well. Welcome back, Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Here is the topic of conversation if you want to weigh in. Who do you believe? Kyrie Irving? LeBron James? Stephen A. Smith? What's going on here? Is this all an act, as LoNeal posited? Is that the word?
That works.
That does work? Okay. I was thinking it through in my brain, and then I realized I'm live. At some point, I have to say something.
Posited
yesterday that it could be a conspiracy, working together to get Kyrie out of Cleveland before his contract's up in two seasons. Or it's just egos. It's a situation like James Harden when he was in Oklahoma City. He's decided he wants to run the show. He doesn't want to play behind Durant and Westbrook. No hard feelings necessarily, but he wants to take on his own thing. And that's something Kyrie Irving should be paying close attention to. Harden got his own way, and things are working out great. But remember last year what happened when Dwight Howard came to town? Those two couldn't get along. That was Harden's team. He had worked for it, and he didn't want another alpha dog taking away from him. So they got rid of Howard, and they had a great season. But who just entered the mix in Houston a few weeks ago?
Chris Paul.
And who may be entering the mix in the future? Carmelo Anthony. Keep a very close eye on Houston. Harden has let it be known before. He doesn't work well with other alphas. It could dissolve rather quickly in Texas this season. It's possible that the situation has played out as follows. Kyrie Irving wants out. LeBron James, behind closed doors, talking to his people, lets them know, yeah, I want to beat his ass. You could see yourself saying that. It doesn't necessarily mean you mean it, right? But guys make comments like that all the time. Just big boasting, right? Just heat of the moment type stuff. Stephen A. Smith, obviously very well connected. He knows LeBron. He knows his entourage. He knows his people. Perhaps LeBron made this statement. Stephen A. Smith reached out and talked to one of LeBron's people. LeBron's people told it to Stephen A. Smith. Didn't intend for it to get out. Stephen A. Smith ran with it on radio, and now everyone's kind of sitting around with egg on their face thinking, I kind of wish that hadn't gotten out. Is that a possible realm for what we're dealing with here, Dibs?
It is, but I think they wanted it to get out. LeBron's camp wants it known that they want Kyrie to stay, and that way if Kyrie forces a trade out of Cleveland, LeBron can say, it wasn't me trying to get rid of him, it was him going off on his own, and now I will beat that ass, quote unquote, and that will be on the court, most likely not off the court, but if they match up in the Eastern Conference Finals or even in the NBA Finals, if somehow Kyrie goes to the West and the Warriors don't advance, whatever, it would be a heated matchup. I think ultimately there's no conspiracy theory here. It's just a young player, Kyrie Irving, seeing that Cleveland's going to be a sinking ship and saying, I'm not going to be the one stuck here. If LeBron opts out after next year and Kyrie's still under contract, there's no way they're going to trade Kyrie at that point. So his only recourse, other than staying in Cleveland long term, is to be the first one out.
Check us out on Twitter at 957TheGame, where we've posted this question and more for you. We'd love to have your thoughts. We'll read some of your answers and your tweets throughout the show. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. This day and age of the NBA is about superstars coming together, not superstars breaking apart. Although we did see that happen with Durant and Westbrook, so Durant could join an even better team. Now we're seeing it happen to Kyrie and LeBron. How much of what's happening in Cleveland is a direct result of what the Warriors did to them? For example, flip the script, Cavaliers beat the Warriors in this year's finals. Is Kyrie still trying to get himself out of Cleveland low?
No, I thought that earlier yesterday we talked about it. I said this is a direct effect on the Warriors, what the whole league is going through. The Warriors has transcended the NBA in so many ways. When Durant decided to go to the number one team in basketball, even though they lost the year before to the Cavs, you saw people like, what the hell is going on? It was already a foregone conclusion. Odds were you could take the Dubs against the field. That's how good the odds was once KD came in. People was wondering what was going to happen. So I think it put pressure on the whole league to get better. I think now when you look at Kyrie and you look at LeBron, I think the turmoil starts because they're saying, okay, can we beat this team? Would they have been together if the GM wouldn't have got fired? I think so, because if you think about what Kyrie's saying, I want to be the alpha dog and I want to go there. Well, guess what? If he goes and plays for the Spurs, Kawhi Leonard is there. Yeah, he's a quiet guy, but he goes and plays and does this. You're still going, it's impossible. What the Warriors have assembled, I don't care if you're Kyrie, LeBron, Chris Paul, it doesn't matter who you are. I don't care what kind of superpowers you have. You've not beaten this team if you don't go after and get other superstars. So what Kyrie's saying doesn't make sense. That's why I think this is a big gimmick. That's why I think this is a big game. That's why I think this is a farce. How in the hell can he go somewhere and take over a team? Does he want to just lose? Or he wants to go somewhere and just say, I'm going to go build a team? Have fun. Have fun, because this team over here right now ain't going nowhere for a couple of years. At least you know the core four won't be going anywhere. One of them might go KD after the year, but may not. So if he doesn't, this team right here is going to be good. So how does it behoove Kyrie to go play in New York? What players are he going to bring there? And who is in the hell that he's going to bring besides LeBron that's going to be able to compete with the Dubs?
Or follow this logic, which goes right to what you're speaking of. If you want to be the alpha dog and you want to run the show and you're well aware of the fact that LeBron James is leaving after this season, why don't you just stay in Cleveland? When LeBron leaves, it's your team. You were drafted there. The people love you there. You've already helped bring them a title. LeBron's going to leave. You're going to become the man. Look at Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City. You can have whatever thought you want on Russ. They love him there. They cherish him. He probably eats for free no matter where he goes, because Durant left him, so Russ ultimately became the number one and only number one dog in town. If you're Kyrie Irving and you want to run the show and you know LeBron's leaving,
stay.
Why not just wait it out?
Because you're in Cleveland.
You can win the East again.
You're in Cleveland and your owner is Dan Gilbert.
I think it's nice this time of year.
Lovely. Little steam coming off the lake. Some mosquitoes.
I mean, in October it can be tough when the Nats come out and attack you during playoff baseball. But other than that job at Chamberlain, it's not so bad.
I'm sure it's going to be pretty steamy there in July. If you're Kyrie Irving, you can look at a team like Boston, I think, and see where they have the core to at least be an Eastern final sort of competitor this season and into the future. If you're in Cleveland, there's no chance you're staying if you're Kyrie Irving. You want to go to brighter, greener pastures.
Understood.
You don't want to play for Dan Gilbert.
Yeah.
You already brought them a title, so there's really nothing more for you in Cleveland other than, like you say, if LeBron's there, it's a different story.
And the thing to just really just, you know, look at it, even if he goes to Boston, Boston's a team that we think may come out of the East. What guy on that team besides him that has the ability to go get 30-plus and go get a triple-double every night? What guy on that team besides him that's going to go out there that you know that's going to get you 30 or can get you any or even more, but you know he's going to get you 30. You know he's going to get you at least 8 rebounds and at least 10 assists tonight. What guy on that team besides Kyrie, wherever he
Gordon goes, Hayward.
He's going to do that on a consistent basis? No.
We're going to keep it riding right through. Text line going crazy low. They're all fired up about what you've got them talking about right now. 888-957 if you want to weigh in. What's the best landing spot for LeBron James? Not LeBron James. Kyrie Irving. What's the best landing spot for Kyrie Irving? If you're him, where are you headed? Plus, great comments from Steve Kerr and the Warriors. Joe Lo and Dibs back in a flash, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Dibs mentioned the fact that it's Bumgarner tonight against Jameson Talon over at AT&T Park. Bumgarner's 0-4 on the year, still looking for that elusive first victory. Here's a fun fact for you about the San Francisco Giants. They're a big favorite tonight. Not a big favorite, minus 125, though, with Bumgarner on the mound. So you have to risk $125 to win $100. As bad as this team has been this year, tonight the Giants will be a favorite for the 11th time in their last 15 games. Think about that. As bad as they've been, and they are one of the worst in baseball this season, they will be a favorite for the 11th time in 15 games. In the previous 14 games that we're talking about now, where they were a favorite 10 times, they're 4-10. It's like free money betting against them this season. A favorite 11 times in 15 games. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. That was Brett the Hitman Hart's introduction music based on the beef taking place in Cleveland. LeBron James, quote, wants to beat Kyrie's ass, according to Stephen A. Smith. We're going to be playing WWE entrance music all day long. What's fascinating about this, Kyrie Irving wanting to go out on his own, Kyrie Irving wanting to get away from LeBron James, you do realize that last season, Irving led the Cavaliers in shots. He took more shots than LeBron James. He was real close to LeBron in scoring. He held the ball longer than James. So when you talk about who had the ball in their hands more, it was Kyrie Irving. And he touched it, in terms of them giving him the rock, almost as much as LeBron. It's not as if he's a true second fiddle, where he's sitting back like, I don't know, you could possibly say that prior to Durant's arrival, Klay was a clear number two to Steph's number one. And again, not trying to knock Klay, but I think we would all agree with that, right? Like, he was a number two to Steph's number one. Steph was far more in control of the ball than Klay was. These two are more equals. It's like Steph and KD.
Right.
And yet Kyrie couldn't get along with him. So ultimately, if he's going to be moved, where do you see him going? What would be the best fit for him? What's the best fit for the NBA? Because right now, this is peak NBA, baby. I mean, it's training camps are open, and this is the number one story in America.
Yeah, I think that he's a little silly. I mean, he's one of the guys who said, you know, the earth is square.
Can you prove that it's not?
and not round. So I think that here's a young man that's just, I think this is all a farce, because it really doesn't make sense. No matter where he goes, he can go to Boston. Boston probably is the better team in the East, so he can go there. But I don't think that there's a guy on that team that can take over a game like that he can, that can get over 30, that gets you still 5 or 6 rebounds, get you 10 or 15 assists. That's what he can do. Leaving LeBron, there's no one. You can say Gordon can't go out on a night in and night out and go get friggin' 30. He might get you 20, 25, maybe. Night in and out, but I don't think so either. And he's not going to get you 10 to 15, 10 rebounds. He's not going to get you 15 assists, not going to steal the ball. There's not another guy out there on that particular team that is even close to comparable to LeBron James. Now, he can go to San Antonio, and you have a guy in Kawhi Leonard who can take over if he won, and he's going to get you steals, give you that defensive presence, and do a lot of things. So, but when you look at just the East, I don't think that there's – I don't see a great fit for this guy. I mean, of course, he can go to some teams and be the man, the Clippers. I mean, there's a lot of teams that he can go to, the Suns, and go be the guy. But is he going to win and win a championship? And that's what it's about. I just don't see any moves out there for him.
He's in for a rude awakening. So I don't know. Rude. If anyone disagrees, jump in. But I think he's in for a very rude awakening, because he doesn't play defense.
And he benefits greatly from all the attention placed on LeBron James.
No question.
And what happened to him against the Warriors in the first few games of the finals? He was MIA. Klay Thompson took him out of commission those first two games.
Took him to the woodshed.
He could not finish at the rack. Klay played amazing defense on Kyrie. Now he wants to be the star? Well, he named San Antonio. You think Greg Popovich is going to tolerate his lack of defense? He names Minnesota. You think the Timberwolves and Tom Thibodeau are going to be okay with him dogging it on D? What about New York with the Knicks? That should work out pretty well. It's worked out well for everybody else, so I could see him having a lot of success. Miami is the only place I can see. He wants to go to Miami. Pat Riley knows what it's like to work with guys like him. Pat Riley might be able to build around it, but I can't see this guy going West, Dips.
Well, if he goes to San Antonio, he'll learn to play defense. And you look at what Tony Parker's done throughout the course of his career, he's become a pretty good defender, at least active and able to get steals and generate them that way and whatnot. New York would make a ton of sense if he wanted to just shut it down for a couple of years and just basically take it off. You go from Gilbert to Dolan. It's kind of a lateral move from an ownership standpoint, from super dysfunctional to has no ability to run the organization. Miami makes no sense to me. They've already got Goran Dragic there, so what are they going to go with, double point guards? I still think that Boston would be a perfect destination. I know that wasn't on his alleged short list of four, but you send him there, you bring Isaiah Thomas back to Cleveland, you move a pick accordingly as well. I think Boston gets better, and Cleveland has a chance to at least get some younger players for the post-LeBron era.
For those just jumping in, we're talking about Cleveland, Kyrie Irving, LeBron James. New report surfacing. Take a listen to Stephen A. Smith on his radio show yesterday.
Kyrie signed a five-year deal in excess of $90 million right before LeBron returned to Cleveland, like a week or two before LeBron returned to Cleveland. Kyrie did not know that LeBron was coming back to Cleveland. So Kyrie was salty from that moment. Now, it doesn't mean that they had a contentious relationship. They've talked on many occasions. According to my sources, LeBron James has tried to appease him at every turn. A matter of fact, I had sources in LeBron James' camp literally tell me, and I'm quoting Charles, if Kyrie Irving was in front of LeBron James right now, LeBron James would be tempted, quote, to beat his ass, end quote.
Beat his ass. What does this say about James? We've talked a lot about Kyrie Irving, but for this to get out about James, remember, we're only a month or two removed from that whole conversation about James versus Michael Jordan, about James's place in history, about James being one of the top three all time. You don't hear about this stuff from Michael Jordan. You don't hear about it from Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, competitive guys, but at the sign of strife, you don't hear about them through reporters and leaks in their camp about how they want to beat the other guy up because they feel wronged. Do you hear about this from the top quarterbacks in the NFL? Do you hear about it from the top players in Major League Baseball? What does this say about James that he can't handle something like this?
You know what? It's interesting because when you saw Michael Jordan at his finest, in his finest hour when he was on top of his game, there was a guy that was Robin, Scotty. And Scotty talked about, hey, he wanted to sometimes see if he could take over a team. You see what happened when he went to Portland. Welcome up, Scotty. What happened? Scotty came down to earth, never won a championship after Michael left, so he needed him. But you saw the way those guys was able to coexist, even though Scotty wished that he could be Michael. Hell, there's a lot of times that guys that you're just as good as you say, man, I wish I could do that. And you say that you can do it, but the numbers and stuff say you can't. Show that you can. Even though you may think you can and you may think you're a better athlete, the numbers and the history has a way to show that you're not. And sometimes that's not guys' reality. Their perception is they're better than what they are. I've seen it. I've been there. And so I look at this, and here's that same situation. But now you're looking at LeBron. LeBron saying, I've gone out of my way. I've came back to Cleveland. I'm there with you. I've helped you. You see every time we look at SportsCenter, him and LeBron is hugging and kissing. LeBron's got his arm around him. He's got his arm around him. You see him going out of his way to find LeBron. It would, if this is true. It would cause me, if I'm LeBron, to be very disappointed and very upset because of the things that I've done and tried to appease a guy, and then he says, I want to be my own. I don't like being around this guy. I don't like him. That would hurt.
Even after all this, you're still convinced that this is a conspiracy, that these two are working together to get Irving out of Cleveland.
That's why, from all these reasons, that's why I'm that much more even, because this doesn't turn that bad. You can't fake like you like someone, Joe, that long. What don't come out in the wash, come out in the rinse. And they've been faking that they like each other too long. I don't think it's possible.
Niner fans, camp opens in 2 days. Rookies and vets will report. A very, very juicy nugget surfaced about a certain player on the team yesterday. We're going to get into that next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
We've got $1,000 to give away at the top of the hour, 7 o'clock, as well as at 8 o'clock, and we'll be giving away tickets at 8:45. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Juicy, juicy nuggets on the San Francisco Niners coming up in just a moment. But Tamir's on hold. He wants to talk Kyrie Irving and LeBron James. He just texted me to let me know he'll stay on hold all day. I'm not going to do that to you, Tamir. Floor's open, my friend. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Love the show as always. I just want to say I think that everybody has their points, but I don't think there's a conspiracy like Lowe's saying. I think that Kyrie and maybe other Cavs players are just fed up because when you see it on TV, it's LeBron James when they win. He's the greatest thing ever. And then when they lose, he has no help. So maybe Kyrie, as an all-star, he gets his points. He's like, what am I, chopped liver? So, like, they keep – maybe they never got along. And it's just, like, it's just fed up because when they lose, it's like, oh, I need more help. I don't have anybody. Or we're top heavy. It's just me, me, me. Like, when LeBron lost in the finals, he's like, you know, smiling and stuff, and he was happy with it. Maybe Kyrie's like, I'm hurt. We lost. You're over here smiling, saying you got yours, though. So that's just how I feel on that.
Fair point. Appreciate the phone call, as always. Thank you very much, Tamir. Lowe, he thinks you're just a damn fool to...
He won't be the only one.
...to take his reasonable sentiment and try to throw some gas on it and then light it on fire.
You're right. He's not the only one. But I don't know. I just see hell. This is just... It's just... It's just hard, you know, to fathom what's going on there in Cleveland, a team that, you know, that everyone said is the only team out there that is a formidable opponent for the Dubs, and he's willing to walk away. You know, sometimes there's pride before the fall, and I know LeBron is a very demanding athlete. He wants to win championships, and so does Kyrie and everyone on that whole team. I think this is a guy that always respects Kyrie. There's nothing... And where I disagree with Tamir, you have never seen him disrespect Kyrie. He's always giving Kyrie the ball. Kyrie, hell, you just looked at the numbers. He shot the ball more than LeBron. He held the ball more than LeBron. Here's a guy that is a very integral part. And everyone that watched basketball doesn't look at this guy as a second fiddler to LeBron.
The Warriors broke this team. I mean, they're done. I don't see them winning the East next year. You guys talked about it yesterday. You both feel that someone else will win the East. That's it. That's it. The trilogy's done. The Cavaliers won't have what it takes next year. And for anyone who wants to say, well, they're bringing in Derrick Rose, Derrick Rose is coming in at 1 year, $2.1 million. That's everything you need to know about what Derrick Rose is capable of achieving. Remember, if Timothy Mozgov is going to get $16 million a year,
woo,
$2 million for Derrick Rose tells you everything you need to know about what he's capable of giving you.
He's basically on a prove-it sort of contract. If he can return to some form, go out an average maybe 15 coming off the bench, then maybe he gets a three-year deal somewhere else, 3 years and $20 million, but he's not going to be the max player that he once was. Injuries have robbed him of his explosiveness and his bounce, and this is probably a great destination for him, especially with the scepter of maybe Kyrie Irving being traded. He could then slide into the starting spot and really go out and get a bigger contract when he and LeBron and everyone else leave Cleveland after the end of next year.
Man, I used to love D. Rose. When he had so much explosion getting to the rack, I used to love that dude. And then, what was it, like 3 years ago, he had those comments about taking nights off because he's got to preserve his body for walking his kids down the aisle and showing up for graduations.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you talking about, dude? You're playing hoops. You're getting paid a ton of money. The people of Chicago don't want to hear that. And then this past year, didn't he just go MIA on the Knicks? Do people forget that?
Yeah, didn't show
he
up.
He just disappeared and didn't come to a game because he didn't feel like it.
You're right. It's so weird to me. Only $2 million a year. And honestly, no.
You're right, Lowe.
That's not good.
For
the NBA standard, that's a bottom feeder salary.
It's a pittance.
Look at Barnes.
It's what the commoners
are paid. Less than commoners. I mean, come on. He's down there with JaVale McGee. I mean, think about what
he's doing.
I'm serious.
McGee will probably make more when he inevitably signs.
And you saw our guy Barnes goes to Dallas getting $16, $20 million a year. So it's interesting to see how this guy, who was a MVP of the league, has now $2 million just goes to show you how quick this guy fell off grace.
All right, to the Niners we go. Promised a juicy nugget. I've got a juicy nugget. Camp opens in 2 days. Rookies and veterans will report. One of the veterans reporting is running back Carlos Hyde. However, the question becomes, how long will he be with the organization? What? First of all, go to 957thegame.com for the Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily and Novato Chevrolet if you'd like to weigh in on this topic. Greg Rosenthal, we've had him on the show before, NFL.com, been around a long time. He is on the Around the NFL podcast recently, and he had this to say, quote, Coach Kyle Shanahan was going to be sick and dreaming of rookie Joe Williams if the team didn't draft him, according to the Monday Morning Quarterback's Peter King. So general manager John Lynch wound up trading up to get a guy in Williams who wasn't even on his draft board. Rosenthal continues, compare that investment, emotional and otherwise, with the team's lukewarm appraisals of Hyde this offseason. A talented and extremely elusive runner, Hyde has 1 year left on a contract signed 3 head coaches ago. He's admittedly the biggest long shot to lose his job on this list, but Shanahan and Lynch are just starting their extreme makeover and have proven they are ready to act with conviction. This all came in the context of a discussion who could be some surprise cuts by the end of the preseason, and Rosenthal said he heard from a little birdie that you shouldn't be surprised if the Niners cut Carlos Hyde. Lo, your thoughts when you hear something like that?
I know John wanted to jump up and draft. He drafted because Shanahan brought him in as the GM. So let's just put it in layman terms. Shanahan has a good relationship. He doesn't want to rock the boat, so he drafts him. But I think this is where the rubber has to meet the road. As a GM, you say, you brought me in. Hey, Cal, I get it. I'm a little older than you. I know we both know football. I know football just as well as you do. They're both on equal playing fields when it talks about just X's and O's. A GM, John hasn't done this well, but this is where he's got to step in and say, I can't cut this guy. I understand you want to go in another direction, but by the end of the year, midseason, if you want to have this guy start, and if he's shown that he can do it, then let's do it. But here's what you got to do. You look at Carlos Hyde and during the season or before the season, you try to trade this guy. You try to move this asset because I believe he's a good running back. You don't just necessarily trade him. The Niners need – this team is far away from winning a Super Bowl right now. So why not get this pick, and if John and those guys want to trade him, collectively they need to pick up the phone and start trying to shop him around to different teams because I think this guy is a good running back, top 10, 15 running backs in the league when healthy.
It's strange to consider this because the Niners have more money than anyone when it comes to the salary cap, right? That's number one. Number two, Carlos Hyde is making $822,000 this year with a $100,000 workout bonus. So all said and done, he's not even going to make $1 million.
Right.
He's in the final year of his 4-year contract, which means in a contract year, you're probably going to get the most focused, in shape, energized running back imaginable. So even if you don't like him, why not play out the season, Dibs, and then from there, just let him hit free agency if you don't like him.
Especially when you don't have a lot of other options at running back. I know they brought in Hightower, and they've got Joseph Williams, the rookie you talked about, the draft pick.
Love that kid.
You need, in this day and age, even though you may want to throw the football a lot, and you'll probably be behind in a lot of games, and you will have to throw the football, you need at least 3 running backs these days. So
and a thumper. You need a thumper.
Yeah, and that's Carlos Hyde. And like you say, Joe, in a contract year, you see how motivated he is to go out there. And can he stay healthy? That's really been the biggest knock is his inability to stay on the field. So see what you got. 800 grand, a bargain. If he has a good year, then maybe you re-sign him. If not, you let him go and you cut your losses.
Who's the running back in Indy that everyone loves, who's getting a little older?
Frank Gore, son. You see, he's real close to moving up to like 4th on the all-time list. Very quietly,
Hall of Famer, Frank Gore
is going to pass some notable names this season.
He is. And so why wouldn't John Lynch, who knows Harbaugh, who knows Pagano really well, why wouldn't he pick up the phone and say, you have a guy, an aging guy. If you're going to get rid of this guy, trade the asset. Trade him over to a place like that where you got now Frank Gore. You're going to keep him fresh. Those two guys can run together. You don't just cut a running back like that. There is a lot of suitors out there. Hell, San Diego. There is a lot of places that this guy could go and play right now. Hell, Philadelphia, be in the mix
over
there.
They're about to cut Ryan Matthews.
Yeah, exactly. So when you look at what he can bring to any team, If you don't want him, if that's your running back of the future, go get something for him, trade him to one of these teams, and get a draft pick.
It's a great point. Good friend of the program, Eric Davis, used to work here at 95.7 The Game. He was on with Papa and Bonte yesterday. If you're a Niner fan looking for some optimism this season, take a listen to this.
Looked at me side-eyed when I said, whichever team between the Niners and the Rams sweeps the other will probably be in a fight for a playoff spot with the Dallas Cowboys.
Come on now. Come on now. Dibs, you know ED.
Love ED.
What do you think about that?
Oh, I'm the one actually responsible for bringing ED to the station. I've known ED a long time. And
who aren't you responsible for bringing to the station?
You.
Okay, one.
But I'm happy you're here, Joe, but I digest. I'm a big fan of ED. He played football for a long time, and he knows more football than I'll ever forget, or whatever that damn expression
He'll
is.
He'll forget more football than you'll ever know.
Both are equally true. But in this case, I'm not seeing it the way he sees it. Either the Rams or the Niners, if they sweep the other, you're still looking at 5 or 6 wins at the best for either one. So, ED, I'm going to have to politely and respectfully disagree.
He just got him 2 wins.
Likelihood. Well, I mean, yeah. First of all, it doesn't necessarily – there's no guarantee the Rams sweep the Niners or the Niners sweep the Rams, right?
Right.
So
right.
Even
right.
If the Niners sweep the Rams, let's just assume they did what they did last year. What's the likelihood they challenge for a playoff spot?
Slim to none, and none has left the building. With all due respect, they're going to be a tougher physical team, and they're going to play with a lot more bravado. I like what they're doing. And Dibs were responsible for me to come to the show, too. Got me the gig here. He put me on the show with Alyssa Milano, and I wooed her on Low on Love,
and my career just took off. Alyssa Milano, it's a great
highlight.
This is the Super Bowl show in New Orleans, right?
Yes, yes. And at a later date, we'll play it, and you guys get to see Dibs brought my skills out to the forefront.
Wow.
And he really just set me up and teed me up, and they didn't think your boy had skills. So, yes, Dibs, I owe you thank you as well.
This is the origin of Low on Love, from what I understand.
Yes, yes. We were already working it throughout that season, but that was the culmination of Low on Love. He brought it. It became a live show, and it immediately went from a nice, fun PG bit to NC-17, Joe.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it really was riveting.
He kicked
stuff.
It up about 5 notches on her.
I mean, she was blushing and everything, but as I digest, I don't want to toot my own horn, but thank you, Dibs, for that.
But that's exactly what you just did. You can't just say that at the end. Guys, I don't want to brag. You just brag for 5 minutes.
But yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're all out of time.
Oh, man. Eric Davis, you got off the hook.
We will jump back into this in a bit. Remember, at 8:15 today, Jack Del Rio is going to join the program. Uncle Ray Searidge, pitching coach for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's always a blast to talk to. He's going to join us at 9:30. We've got $1,000 to give away next. We've got $1,000 to give away at 8 a.m. as well. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs back in a flash, 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.